I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. This is something different here every day from 9 to 11 o'clock during the weekdays. You will find this show, stories behind the stories, truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda. This is Central Mississippi's safe little space here for independent thinkers out there. We're going to get into impeachment stuff. I have purposely really stayed away from it for most of the time the process has been going on. I found it boring. We know it's not going to end up meaning anything. But I did spend some time watching yesterday, and it was about as bad as I could imagine. I'm hoping that yesterday's impeachment hearings were on some kind of a closed-circuit television. We're not broadcast anywhere outside of the borders of the United States. I hope no other country saw what took place yesterday. As somebody who does not like political speeches, we were in a store yesterday. It was like Armageddon. There were 250-minute to 3-minute speeches yesterday by these Congress critters. It was pretty difficult to watch. But we're going to start the show off today. We got a guest in the studio with us. We got Steve Wilson. He's the investigative editor for Mississippi Center for Public Policy. So I wanted to go ahead and get him on. Tell us what's going on with their group, Steve. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Well, good. Well, thanks for coming in. So you are investigative editor. What exactly does that mean?
That means that I do investigative journalism for the Mississippi Center for Public Policy, which people think of investigative journalism, they think of people meeting people in parking garages, exchanging briefcases, wearing fedoras and trench coats.
Deep throat stuff.
Yeah, I have never gotten to do that. I've never gotten to wear a disguise. My job, I hate to say it, the actual soup and nuts of it is very boring.
Well, I tell you, there's no investigative reporting in the mainstream media, so you would think that you would really be digging into stuff that people aren't talking about anywhere else.
I am. One of the interesting stories I did was a story about a group up in that was headquartered in the Delta called the Delta Health Alliance, which had powerful backing, got a lot of federal money, and their director made about $450,000 a year, which is pretty absurd.
Ah, that's good money if you can get it. Did you bust it open?
Well, what I did was I went and found their IRS tax forms, their 990s, which is publicly available. Found that, and of course, the board of directors, any executive people in a 501c3 or c4 charity, their pay is on there. So it's anything that anybody could have gotten.
Did you upset the apple cart? Did you tick off a CEO up there?
Oh yeah. There was a lot of drama with that. But at the end of the day, they couldn't really say anything because all of this was publicly available. None of my reporting was based on conjecture or opinion. It was just, okay, she makes this much. Do you have a problem with it?
Right.
Okay, if not, okay.
Just basically some sunshine put on it.
Exactly. The way I approach things is I lay out the facts. I don't put any opinion in it. And I let people make their own judgments.
Yeah, that's what seems like what the media tells us they do, but it doesn't really seem to work out that way.
I hate to say this, but as a former newspaper man, I can tell you that's not the way they operate.
Yeah, it is really. Well, you know, it's kind of funny. People say all the time, as partisan as the world is right now, people will say, why can't we just get a news source that is just independent and isn't slanted one way or the other and just gives us the facts? I submit nobody actually wants that. You know, because you see in this hyper-partisan world, everybody wants to go where their opinion, the opinion that they already hold, is confirmed. You know, the left wants to go to the CNNs and the MSNBCs. The right wants to go to Fox News. I don't think there's even an appetite for objective news anymore.
I think that whole objective idea, that was kind of a phase that the media business went through. I think we've devolved back into the 18th century when the country was founded. You had a Federalist newspaper in each town. You had a Democrat or Republican or whatever it was, the Jeffersonian newspaper, and they didn't get along. And they obviously, kind of like we have now, there was a big divide. But the thing that was bad back then is you would have a mob of each group supporters that would sometimes go to the opposing newspaper, tear up their press, and tar and feather the people, the editors.
That's interesting. I did not know that. It seems like, yeah, I think we're coming full circle there. That's the next step, probably, in the way things are trending here.
I certainly hope not. I read a fascinating book by an author named Ian Toll about the founding of the U.S. Navy called Six Frigates. And they were talking about Ben Franklin's son, and that actually happened to him in Philadelphia.
Good grief. We were talking just real briefly, or just when you came in. Did you follow any of this impeachment stuff that went on yesterday?
I got to admit, I think it's a total farce. I think it is kabuki theater.
Right.
It's one of those things. Why, if you're the Democrats, the optics of this are just idiotic. The Republicans run the Senate. There is no way that they are going to hold a trial and vote for removal.
Right.
So you've just basically done something that the left does that I hate very much, that I refer to as virtue signaling. That this is total virtue signaling. This is saying to their base, hey, we're after the, what is it everybody says, the orange man bad.
Right,
well, we're
right.
taking care of that now.
Well, and everybody's raising tons of money off of it, too. You know, this has been fantastic for the Republican Party and for Donald Trump. His poll numbers are trending in the right direction. They're breaking fundraising records. I mean, so this thing is, I totally agree with you, this is political theater for the masses to get everybody lined up. It's a great way to fundraise. Money is flowing to these two parties, and the end result will be absolutely nothing. I think what we have witnessed, but yesterday was bad. I got to say, it was what the Democrats did yesterday was really pretty shameful and pretty disgusting to watch.
Well, I am a person who hates Christmas shopping with a passion. Yesterday, I went Christmas shopping with my wife, and I am very thankful I did that I didn't have to watch any of that.
Yeah, that's true. I would say there were many things I would have rather have been doing. I usually don't even watch this stuff, but I just found myself in a situation where I had the ability to watch some of it. Left it on in the background and just kind of stewed me. But anyway, Mississippi Center for Public Policy, tell us a little bit about what y'all do, and then we're going to get to some of the work you've been doing recently.
Well, what we do is we have kind of a three-legged stool when it comes to our pushing the policies that we believe are best for the state of Mississippi. We have what I call an inside the building kind of game, where we actually go and work with legislators to draft bills and come up with good policies that help people in the state of Mississippi that are free market.
Right.
And also we've got a legal arm. And we've got me, the investigative journalism arm. So we're kind of like you got the soft touch with the inside the building advocacy, that sort of thing. And then you've got the guy who can bring you into court, and you got me that can embarrass you in the public sphere.
Right.
So it's a really great way of doing business with it.
How many of y'all are down there?
Well, I think we've got, let's see, I think like five or six people.
Yeah.
So we're a pretty lean, tight organization. We're a really tight crew, and our goal is we want to make the lives of the average Mississippian better, and to us, that means more free market, that means less government.
Well, I'll tell you what, I had this conversation with somebody just the other day. It really seems, I don't know where we're missing it as Mississippi. We've actually come off the bottom of some statistics recently. It's been kind of encouraging. Mm-hmm. I mean, up to 47th in a couple of things. You know, any progress is good progress. With the cost of living being so low in Mississippi, you would just think we would really be ripe to attract some businesses that could pay their employees so much less here. And I've always wondered, I've had, you know, other people from Center for Public Policy on kind of asking the same question. It just seems like we are really ripe to take advantage of the low cost of living, and that we're accessible to many areas as far as trucking and that kind of stuff goes. We're not out in the middle of nowhere, so Mississippi always seems like it has some potential there. What kind of stuff have you been working on recently?
Well, I'm getting ready for the legislative session, which you know is going to come up, and it ought to be an interesting session because obviously the things on the ground have totally changed. You've got a new lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
You've got some new faces in both houses of the legislature. You've got committee chairmanships, which are going to be completely up for grabs. So when we start January 7th, there's not really going to be a lot going on until they get those committee chairs in place and they can start sending the bills to committee.
Yeah, are y'all pretty well received down at the Capitol?
I would say so. The thing that we have to do as a group is we have to realize that it's always politics. It's never personal. An enemy of yours on a bill one day might be helping you with another bill.
Right.
So it's one of those things where we're willing to work with anyone that's willing to put forward policies that reduce government and increase the free market.
Right, right. Okay, well, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break, but I wanted to come back. You were working on something about, is this high-speed rail down on the coast or just train connections?
It's just regular Amtrak.
Right, okay. All right, well, you've been doing some reporting on that. I thought it was interesting because this involves taxpayer money. We do a lot of talk on this radio show about how taxpayer money is used, particularly at the federal level, but at the state level as well. So we'll get to that. We're talking to Steve Wilson, Mississippi Center for Public Policy. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
Welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. In the studio today with Steve Wilson from the Mississippi Center for Public Policy. Steve and I are talking poker off air. We need to get a poker game together
exactly.
Sometime. You're talking about some good free market stuff. I think poker is probably, isn't the neighborhood game of poker still illegal?
Oh, I would say 100%. So we're probably our friends at the Department of Revenue are probably going to start following us and probably start tapping our phones out.
How insane is that you cannot come together in the United States of America with five of your friends and bet quarters or dollars? I mean, I know they're not going to bust a neighborhood poker game, but just the mere fact of that is an illegal activity for five voluntary adults to get together and gamble a few, you know, $10, $20, $30 is actually an illegal act.
Well, just like making beer or wine in your home for the longest time in this state used to be illegal.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things, a great mystery. I mean, online poker. Played a lot of online poker in my day and, did some of the big sites. And then they actually proactively passed this to make it illegal for me to voluntarily put $5 into a sit-and-go, no-limit hold'em table and play poker with people halfway around the world, which is just entertainment for me. And you've just got to love the politicians who come out. It's because they love us so much. They're just so worried about me developing a gambling habit and destroying my life that they have forbidden me from putting $5 into a poker game.
Well, I always feel like that politicians do the worst stuff when I hear this phrase. But we've got to do something.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, we're seeing this now with vaping.
Exactly.
Yes. You know, cigarettes kill 1,500 people a day by the statistics that they use. We don't pay much attention to that. Vaping kills 40 people over 70 years. And, oh, my gosh, we've got to do something for the children. Politicians, they've convinced a lot of people that they're there because they love them. All right. I wanted to talk to you about what you were doing. There's a rail proposal going on that's going to involve Mississippi taxpayer dollars around the coast.
Yes, I can explain. So basically, there's this group called the Southern Rail Commission. They were actually chartered by Congress. They actually have gubernatorial appointed commissioners from each of the three states involved, which is Alabama, Louisiana, and Mississippi. So what they're trying to do, and they've already got the money for it now, is they're going to start a twice daily rail service from Mobile, Alabama, which is my hometown, to New Orleans. And it's not going to be cheap. And the worst part of it is not only are we going to have to pay upfront money, we're also going to have to subsidize the operations every year because survey says it's not going to gross $1.
Really?
No.
Wow. And the reason that they feel this is necessary is?
They think that this, the interesting thing is one of the commissioners who was from Mississippi said that we've spent all this government money after Katrina to restore the downtowns of Bay St. Louis, Biloxi, Gulfport. The thing we need to tie these together is to bring in people via the train. And they also think because they spent, the government largely spent $1 billion on the new New Orleans airport, that the only way we can get tourists from other countries to get out of New Orleans and go somewhere else is the train.
Wow. And I mean, well, I don't know. Maybe from Europe. Before you said that, I was thinking nothing is more southern than riding the rails. I don't know anybody who's been. I mean, I know a couple of people taking the train from here to New Orleans on a goof. But we don't necessarily think of the train first for our travel. Does this mean that it stops in each one of these small towns down there? I mean, it stops in Bay St. Louis. It stops in Biloxi and all that
Ocean
kind of stuff.
Ocean Springs, yeah. All that.
I was reading your article that you had written about this. It said something about an earmark that Thad Cochran had gotten 13 years ago.
Yes. That was for they have – you just wouldn't believe how many federal grant programs there are. They are up there. There's a reason why we're $1.2 trillion in debt. Most of that is obviously entitlement programs.
Right.
But a lot of it is all these little grant programs at all these cities, and they have a guy that they hire just to go chase grants. And this is one of those grants, and this thing has just been sitting around, floating around in the ether since the late Thad Cochran got that for Mississippi.
Where is the money? Is that already been brought to Mississippi and it's sitting in an account? Wait, and this was to put together a station or something in one of the small towns?
It was one of those station maintenance grants.
It was around $1 million. Was $900,000 something?
Yeah. So it's just been floating around waiting for someone to spend it.
Good Lord.
I mean, when we've got a government that does things like that, I think people need to really wake up and go, you know, maybe we need to change the way this is done.
What would this train thing cost the taxpayers of Mississippi a year?
It's going to cost us about $3 million to operate, and it's going to cost in total just to get it going is $65 million. $33 million of which is being paid for by taxpayers, both at the state level and at the national level.
Where's the other money coming from?
Hold on. 33 is just us as the three states. And then 33 is the feds. So it's
basically all taxpayer
dollars.
It's
all taxpayer dollars.
All taxpayer dollars. So, yeah, okay. And Amtrak, is Amtrak wholly owned? I mean, there's no private aspect to Amtrak.
No,
it's a complete
no.
government entity. So there's no accounting for the fact that this thing will not be profitable in any way. They're not anticipating a rider count that makes this a boon as far as the operation goes.
Well, the one thing I've learned in my investigative journalist career is that they have these feasibility studies, and they literally just pull these ridership numbers,
right,
the number of fans that are going to go see ball games at a stadium. They just pull it out of whole cloth.
Convention centers that are going to be wildly profitable.
Yeah, that never make a dime.
Hotels. Yeah, yeah, right.
And interestingly enough, I'm glad you brought up Amtrak because their CEO said a couple weeks ago, we really don't care about profitability. That's not part of our, that's not a part of what we do. And I just wanted to say this is reason number one why the federal government should not be involved with passenger rail.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And you say this is – so Amtrak has a CEO?
They do.
What's the salary there? Did you find out? I'm just curious.
I do not know, but I'm sure it is considerable.
What a great gig to be able to be the CEO of a company that you don't have to worry about profits. That's just kind of – you just kind of do all the bells and whistles you want to and, you know, run the day-to-day but not have to worry about actually doing anything productive.
Most of your companies in the world – will talk about how great, how much money we made this quarter. The Amtrak people, they had an Amtrak representative at this meeting that I covered down in Bay St. Louis, and he said, hey, we had the lowest loss we've ever had in a quarter. I was like, that's not really something to be celebrated.
That sounds like somebody from the post office coming in and explaining to us that their losses are less than they've been before. So where does this thing go? Is this something the legislature is going to weigh in on, or is this simply done with this commission, this Southern Rail Commission?
Well, apparently the money has already been outlaid for our share.
From the legislature?
Well, actually, no. I think it was from the governor, and I think it was from MDOT.
Oh, wow.
So it's just from some money
just
they
out
had.
Out of their budget.
I guess. I mean, I guess that whole fixing, I guess the roads and bridges aren't so important when you got to send people from Mobile to New Orleans.
Right. Yeah.
But the interesting thing about it is Alabama is balking at paying their money to maintain it every year, which might end up scuppering the whole works.
Oh, well, then that would actually be a positive. So this thing is not a done deal necessarily.
Not yet. It's close. It's like right on the edge. If Alabama agrees to it, it's done. But what will end up happening, this is my prediction, they've tried this twice with this trip over to New Orleans from Mobile, and people say, well, it'll be good for people to drink that want to go to the Saints game or what have you. They've done it twice. The ridership wasn't as much as they said it was going to be. And this is back before people had as many cars as they do, and it's easy to get over there. You would be better served having a private operator do a bus service.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Do you follow any of the Amtrak stuff between here and New Orleans? How well it's used? I've never used it. I've actually kind of wanted to take it. I enjoy a train ride, but I've driven down to New Orleans every time I go, and it's not a bad drive. It doesn't cost a lot of money. Do you know anything about that Mississippi, the Jackson to New Orleans route, if that's profitable, if it's well attended?
Most of their long distance routes are money losers.
Yeah.
And the last numbers I saw, the ridership was actually down.
Huh.
Pretty much at all the stations through Mississippi, because it stops at like Meridian and all that as well.
Right.
So I think what's going to end up happening is people are going to do this, like my nephew and my in-laws. They're going to take my nephew because my nephew is obsessed with trains. He's 6 years old. He loves it.
My son was too. Thomas the Train.
Exactly.
Holy cow.
My son too.
Oh my gosh, what a scam that thing was.
Oh yeah, I wish I would have invented that.
I tell you what.
But they're going to ride that once just to say, hey, I went on a train. Are they going to do it again? No.
Right.
And the reason why is I did a little story about, and I just punched up the numbers. At the best case scenario, that's an $18 one-way ticket from Mobile to New Orleans. It would cost 65.9% more for you to go over there and see some attractions than it would to go in your car.
And that's what Americans are looking to do, spend more money constantly for the same result.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so well, where is all this you're reporting? And tell us a little bit about MCPP and where you're located online and all that good stuff.
We are at mspolicy.org, and we're obviously located in Jackson. We're right by the Capitol. And like I said, we do the three-legged stool. We do the free market thing, and we've got all kinds of news and notes and stuff, like our Facebook page. We're on Twitter, so.
And you've got a newsletter, too. I subscribe to your newsletter, so you've got a very interesting newsletter. I am for anything. As I say, I think Mississippi has untapped potential as far as a free marketplace. We've got conservative leadership in the state, you would think, you know. And it seems like we're making some strides, so that's encouraging, and y'all are kind of at the leading edge of that. So I think your newsletter is good for pointing some of those things out.
I think what we need is to deregulate. We need to get rid of all these occupational licenses.
Right.
That would help. If it's not a safety-related thing, you shouldn't have to get a license to do it.
Right.
I think to start with that, you should have some reciprocity for other people's licenses. Start with that and then go. Also, with the regulations, I think we need to do a two-for-one swap. So if you want to pass a new regulation, you have to get rid of two.
Yeah, that's kind of the Trump model.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the only misleading thing about that is that you could have one giant regulation to get rid of two small regulations.
True.
I'm always suspicious on how politicians might work that out. But yeah, regulatory structure would definitely help. As I say, I think Mississippi's got untapped potential. The cost of living here is so low. I can't imagine the difference between opening a business in Connecticut and in Mississippi. The cost of what it would cost to operate and paying any sizable employee roster has just got to be tremendous. tremendous. And there's so many businesses now that are technology-based, not necessarily location-based. You can be anywhere in the country. You know, we're seeing Austin, Texas is getting a lot of Silicon Valley-type stuff. They're moving things there. Now Austin's getting very expensive. So there's got to be a lot of businesses to attract here. So free market stuff, if that can continue to make progress in Mississippi, is certainly going to help us.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, thank you. All right, Steve. Well, Steve Wilson, Mississippi Center for Public Policy. Go check out their website. You said it's tell me the website one more time.
mspolicy.org.
mspolicy.org. And subscribe to the newsletter, because that's where you'll kind of see what's going on. And I guess they do a lot of updates during the legislature to tell everybody what's happening up there. You got some good guys working with you over there.
Yes, we do, and we've got a busy session, and like I said earlier, it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see how things shake out. You're going to probably have a battle over a gasoline tax. We know where the governor-elect is on that. We'll see. It's going to be a game of poker, and we're going to find out who's bluffing and who's actually got the cards.
Well, let's just hope the taxpayers end up with the cards. Great, Steve. Thanks for coming in. I really appreciate you coming by.
No problem.
All right, bye-bye. All right, we'll be right back. We will talk about this impeachment. It was quite a circus. Stay with me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. The phone number here, 601-879-0002. You want to join the show today. I'm sure people have got their opinions on what took place yesterday. I watched some of the congressional testimony yesterday. I have purposefully avoided really talking about impeachment because it is a bunch of nothing. It's political theater. It has got people on both sides so riled up for absolutely nothing. I believe there is some level of a scam to it. I'm not saying that Donald Trump is in on it, but he is enjoying it. This is a gift. This whole thing has been a gift for Donald Trump. If you are a Trump supporter, you should be dancing in the aisles over impeachment. I know there's a stain on his legacy, and there's going to be an asterisk by his name, and his name will be mentioned with the name Bill Clinton for all of, well, maybe not all of history, but for some period of time to come. But as far as if you want to see the reelection of Donald Trump in 2020, this was a gift. If you want to see the Trump campaign and the Republican Party raise tons of money, this was a gift. And what I watched yesterday, I have a very low bar, a very, very low bar of expectations of Congress in Washington, D.C. I've got stories to cover today about what is going on up there behind the scenes. As I say, I do the stories behind the stories. I look behind the theater screen. You know, they show us the impeachment. They show us the stories that they want us to see, drag us by the nose around from story to story. Meanwhile, horrible things are going on in the background that we pay no attention to. It's how we've ended up with $23 trillion of debt and another $120, $150 trillion in unfunded liabilities that nobody's paying attention to. That's how they do it. They keep us distracted with these other things. Impeachment was one of the biggest distractions, that and the Russia story. I have a very low bar for what they do. Yesterday was really horrible. Now, I'm not a fan of the Republican Party because I think they have betrayed us as a party. But boy, did the Democrats have a parade of nut jobs yesterday. I will say for speeches, I don't like speeches. I do not like speech writer written speeches. And we had like 250 of them yesterday. It was like a greatest hits of campaign speech writers writing little 1 minute, 30 second, 2 minute, 3 minute speeches for these people, one after another. They got to go back and forth and back and forth, Republican and then Democrat, Republican and Democrat. There were a couple of them. The guy who said, I don't remember who it was, one of the guys came on and he said he wanted to observe a moment of silence for the 63 million people who voted for Donald Trump who were being silenced. That was pretty cool. I know it was pandering. It was part of the theater, but I don't know. I felt like that was an interesting moment. And I don't know. The Democrats stayed very silent for that moment. It made it very powerful, the fact that they were all standing up in complete silence during this circus. Yeah, I thought it was a good move. I don't place any stock that it makes any difference in anything. It doesn't mean anything. It's a bit of pandering, but it was at least kind of powerful. What was most interesting to me was listening to Democrat after Democrat after Democrat express their absolute concern for the Constitution of the United States. I had never known that the Democrats were such a party of the Constitution. You can't tell it by the way that they operate on a daily basis, but according to the speeches I heard yesterday, they really big fans of the Founding Fathers. Now, I'm going to talk about that in just a second, too, because what happened yesterday made most people in this country, the people that pay attention to politics, it made you more partisan yesterday. And if we want to talk about the Founding Fathers, we ought to listen to a little bit of their words. They really warned us about this two-party system. They really did. It is one of the things we have, to our great disadvantage, we have ignored them on this, but they warned us about two parties. They are very concerned. The Democrats were very concerned not only with the Constitution, but they were really, I don't know how many times they said the phrase, endangered American security. Can somebody please tell me how in the hell withholding hundreds of millions of dollars from Ukraine has anything to do with United States national security? But it's just said. Now, Republicans, I will submit to you, as I've said many times on this air, Republicans have been hoodwinked by this national security. Every time national security, I'm using air quotes here in the studio, national security, protecting national interests, U.S. interests around the globe. For too long, Republicans have snapped up, put their hand over their heart, and allowed politicians to do all kinds of horrible things across the planet because you have been in awe of this idea of anybody who comes out and says, we have to do this for national security. We have to invade this country. We have to sanction this country. We have to overthrow this government. We have to pick a new president for Venezuela because national security. Hundreds of millions of dollars. My stomach hurt every single time yesterday I heard them mention the $391 million. And they would say these words. This is what they would say. The president withheld $391 million of taxpayer money that the Congress had authorized to go to Ukraine. That's what should be impeachable in my mind. How many of you out there want a portion of your paycheck, from a penny to $1,000, whatever it is, how many of you want to voluntarily give your money to the government of Ukraine? I think they should all be impeached for the billions and billions and billions of dollars they just flow around the world, and it's worse. Stick with me in this show. It's going on up to and including today. I've got numbers on some of the money that they're shipping around the world. And the Democrats kept hitting this $391 million taxpayer dollars to Ukraine. The crime here is the fact that we are giving Ukraine $391 million taxpayer dollars. I've told you before, the average U.S. taxpayer pays $9,000 in federal income taxes. You and everybody in your family tree, everybody, will pay a lifetime of federal income taxes that will not even end up covering that one gift to the government of Ukraine. That's the crime here. other thing that was driving me nuts was the Republicans were saying over and over again, and believe me, listen, I am not a partisan. I'm an observer to this. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I think the Republicans need to be reformed. The Democrats need to be destroyed. As an observer, both of these parties are absolutely abhorrent to me at this particular time. But yesterday, the Republicans looked like all-stars. The Democrats looked absolutely deranged. There is no doubt about it. There was not a redeeming quality on the left of the aisle yesterday. But the Republicans kept saying over and over again, this is just a bit of a pet peeve, I guess you could say. They kept saying over and over again, we should be doing the work of the American people instead of this. And they kept talking about, we need to be doing things that will produce results for the American people. They sent us up here to get a job done, reducing the cost of prescription drugs, ending the opioid crisis, fixing education, whatever else they said. They had a bunch of policy things that they thought they should be doing. Is there anybody listening to me right now who believes that Congress is going to fix a problem? Any problem, name the problem. Do you believe that our Congress is going to lower prescription drug? Now, here's what's going to, they might pass some bill where you're going to pay a little less for drugs and the government will pick up the rest. I won't put that past them. But do you think the pharmaceutical lobbyists, that there's six of them for every member of Congress on Capitol Hill. Six lobbyists for every member of Congress on Capitol Hill. The lobbying dollars flowing to politicians from pharmaceutical companies is staggering. Do you really believe that these people are somehow going to tell one of their biggest donors, hey, y'all are going to have to start making less money? Sorry. Is there one thing? My problem with the Republicans yesterday is this idea that impeachment is somehow taking them away from doing the people's business. And I say this here because I think I'm the only person pointing this out. I don't want them doing any business. I don't even want them in session. I say 2 weeks every 2 years to just, I don't know, kick the tires, just make sure everything's going well. If there that's been the biggest benefit of this impeachment thing is that they weren't doing other things, although in the last week to 2 weeks, we're finding out all kinds of horrible things they're actually getting past while they do this. But the idea that impeachment has kept them from doing and Democrats say it too. We need to be working together. We were elected to fix the problems that the people sent us here to address. Are you still sending a representative to Washington, D.C. to fix a problem at this point? Seriously. Do you believe this governing body is going to fix anything ever? Now, come back real quick. I'm going to read you some quotes. There's a lot of talk about the founding fathers on both sides of the aisle yesterday. A lot of reverence for the Constitution. A lot of reverence for the founding fathers. So, in my little way here, without impressions or channeling the dead, we're going to hear a little bit from the founding fathers about what took place yesterday. I'll be right back. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
I've talked a lot over the past few weeks about the fact that we are just in full banana republic mode. We're just printing money out of nowhere. We got $500 billion, $500 billion of freshly printed up Federal Reserve money just flowing into the system while they tell us everything's fine. They're doing this extreme emergency measure, but they say everything's fine. Look at the stock market. It's great. Don't worry about it. Everything's good. We just need $500 billion to keep this thing going. And yesterday, what we saw in the Senate, in the House of Representatives, was banana republic stuff. It really was. Just disgusting. Problem is, it made people yesterday more partisan than they were when the thing started. And I kind of get that. I understand. Trump's under attack. We got to protect our guy. Republicans are studs. Democrats are psychos. They are. Democratic Party. To you thinking people on the left, please, go ahead and dislike Donald Trump all you want. But you don't have to be a party to what happened yesterday. That was just horrible. It really was just horrible. A lot of talk about the Founding Fathers. A lot of talk about the Constitution. I'm going to read you some quotes from the Founding Fathers about what I talk about every day. I talk about the propaganda of the two mainstream political parties. Once I broke free of this, and I tell you again, it's like being part of a cult. You somehow find your way out of the cult. You want to reach back and grab people and save them. Bring them out of the cult. Let me tell you what the Founding Fathers said about these parties. George Washington's farewell address. Let me warn you in the most solemn manner against the baneful effects of the spirit of party. The common and continual mischiefs of the spirit of party are sufficient to make it the interest and a duty of a wise people to discourage and restrain it. But I bet you got more partisan yesterday, didn't you? The spirit of party serves always to distract the public councils and enfeeble the public administration. It agitates the community with ill-founded jealousies and false alarms, kindles the animosity of one against another. George Washington. Here's John Adams. There is nothing which I dread so much as a division of the Republic into two great parties, each arranged under its leader and concerting measures in opposition to each other. This, in my humble apprehension, is to be dreaded as the greatest political evil under our Constitution. That's John Adams telling you this two-party stuff will destroy the country, to be looked at as the greatest evil. Here's Thomas Jefferson. I never submitted to the whole system of my opinions to the creed of any party of men, whatever, in religion, in philosophy, in politics, or in anything else where I was capable of thinking for myself. Such an addiction is the last degradation of a free and moral agent. That could be the theme of my show. I talk about the show being for independent thinkers out there, not beholden to this two-party system. It goes on and on and on. James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin. They all warned us about this two-party situation, this two-party loyalty, this two-party division of the United States. And what have we done? We have elected a bunch of people to go to the floors of Congress to talk about the Founding Fathers and talk about the Constitution. At the same time, they are ignoring everything the Founding Fathers said. This whole thing yesterday was about handing out taxpayer cash to Ukraine, calling it national security, when the Founding Fathers warned us about entangling alliances with other countries, picking winners and losers, picking favorites, being tied to other countries. Founding Fathers warned us of that, but their warnings are ignored while they talk about the Founding, wanting to honor the Founding Fathers and the Constitution all day yesterday in that clown show that they passed off as an impeachment.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
You tell me that. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. You want to join the show. Does anybody know? I was trying to look during the break and I couldn't find an image. Does anybody know what the lapel pin that everybody was wearing yesterday? It was round. I think it might have had a gold center and a reddish circle around it. I'm just curious. It's one of those things that I'm prepared for it to make me angry. It's some pandering. I cannot stress to you the depths of the low regard with which I hold these people across the board. And I know yesterday the Republicans were kind of the good guys, right?
The Democrats were so bad yesterday, they made me kind of like the Republicans. That's how bad they were. But the lapel pins they always wear, these American flags, and, you know, it's just the packaging, the show, the theater, the facade of this stuff. I am going to read you stories in just a minute that they should make you want to pull your hair out. These are the things going on behind the scenes of this impeachment debacle. It's absolutely stunning. What's more stunning, really, though, I got to tell you, is the fact that the American people put up with this stuff. And it is exactly because the Founding Fathers, I read before the break, their quotes on the two-party system. The Founding Fathers told us it may be the greatest danger, the greatest political danger to the United States, in their opinion, was the division of people between two parties. Because they knew, I don't know how these guys were so smart. They must have studied a lot of different governments over time. It's like they took every government and said, okay, well, there's a little piece here that's good, but look, there's this problem with this system. And our constitutional republic is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. There is no perfect situation. As soon as you inject human beings into the mix, they will find a way to screw up a good system, which is what we've done here in the United States. But they were so smart, just they saw so many things coming. I've just got sheets and sheets of quotes from Founding Fathers and from other people throughout time who have warned us about exactly what's going on right now. Yet we don't heed these things. We're so caught up in this, Trump, I love Trump, I hate Trump. So we've ignored it yesterday. So funny to listen to the Democrats come on and talk about their oath to the Constitution. Oh, they loved the Founding Fathers and the Constitution yesterday. At the same day, the article comes out on Politico, court voids Obamacare mandate. And this may end up going to the Supreme Court. A federal appeals court on Wednesday struck down Obamacare's individual mandate in a decision that immediately thrust the health care law to the forefront of the 2020 elections. These Democrats who love the Constitution, love the Founding Fathers, actually put together a healthcare system that forced the American people, essentially at the point of a gun. Do you understand what I mean when I say that? If you do not buy this product, and the product being a health insurance policy from a private business, that's a huge lobbyist of politicians, by the way, the health insurance industry. They forced you to buy a product from a private company. If you did not buy that product, they would fine you. And if they called it a tax, but it's essentially a fine. If you don't buy this product from a private company, they will fine you. They will tax you. If you do not pay that tax, then they may come to your house with a gun and take you and put you into a cage. That's what the Obamacare mandate was. That's what taxation is. It's the threat of the government at the point of a gun to put you into a cage unless you do what they say. Well, what 537 guys or gals up in Washington, D.C. say, because they think they've got a claim on your income. That's what taxation is. And that's what Obamacare was. It was the government forcing you to buy a private product. I mean, I was looking around when this thing passed and saying, how in the world can they get away with forcing us to buy a product? Now, you can say, well, Mike, you got to have car insurance if you're on the road. Yeah, but you don't have to have a car. You can Uber everywhere. You don't have to buy car insurance. This was a tax on your body. This was a tax on just existing, forcing you to buy a product from a private company. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, Mike. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
All right. Mike, I was really disappointed what I saw yesterday. My brother-in-law from Chicago and I spoke, I think it was last week, and he asked me what I felt about the impeachment. And I told him, and exactly what I'm telling you now, I would probably feel a little more at ease with it if they hadn't wanted to do this from the very first time
right.
He was inaugurated. You know, they've been saying they were going to do this. So that, and I want to know, I've been listening to other shows, and I hear people on the side of the Democrats and saying that, well, he did wrong, he did wrong. But I'm wondering, I ask a question, how would they feel if they, one of their relatives, were told that we're going to find a way to send you to prison?
Right, absolutely.
You know, and, you know, and it takes 3 years for them to do it, then all of a sudden they find something and come up with, how would you feel? How would you feel?
Yeah, well, that's,
you know,
the...
you don't do this. You don't tell people I'm out to impeach you and you hadn't done anything wrong. You know, that's just, and I can't understand. I heard Benny Thompson talk this morning. Well, just heard something he had said on the net. And it was really shocking. I said, now, frankly, it's time for us to open our eyes. Those people are sent to Washington to represent us. And they're not doing anything. I don't know one single thing that they have done.
Well, I mean, what is the possibility of anything happening? Just take the R's and the D's off of it. What we saw yesterday was supposedly this thing where all of the Democrats, save two of them, plus Tulsi Gabbard voted just present. She did not vote for the impeachment. And all the Republicans voted against it. There is never, ever any fact. You know what I mean? It's like, how did all of the Democrats essentially see it one way and all of the Republicans see it another way? I mean, you don't have that in any other context in life ever. I mean, you know, if you've got a room full of people and something takes place and you ask everybody what took place, they're probably all going to have some level of a similar,
yes,
regardless of party. But somehow we're led to believe that all of the Democrats saw it one way and all of the Republicans saw it the other way, but we're supposed to accept it as some kind of a fact.
Now, let me tell you, I never thought of it like that, but now that right there made it very clear to me that, you know, when you got stuff like that right there, something is just not right.
Well, and that's the thing, too. You know, that's where Republicans and Donald Trump himself, and this is where I think Donald Trump's style kills him. This was so transparent. There are a lot of good people. I know good people who vote Democrat and who are liberal. Now, I disagree with them on, you know, they think the government should be doing all these different things, and I disagree with them, but they're decent people. Man, this is an easy one to just appeal to people and say, look, I get it. And see, it's easier for me because I'm not trying to convince somebody to become a Republican because I'm not a Republican either. So I don't have that heavy lifting, but it is easy for me to go to a Democrat and say, come on, seriously now, you see through this, don't you? And really thinking Democrats, you have to be able to see how transparent this was. And they brought it up many times yesterday that the Washington Post, whatever it was, 19 minutes after Trump was inaugurated, they said, let the impeachment of Donald Trump begin 19 minutes after he's sworn in. I mean, this is as obvious as it gets.
I mean, this is just ridiculous. And I can't see why the American people can't see this.
Well, I mean, that is the thing. You know, Willie, we live in a time now where this is what I call the post-truth world, the post-fact world. Here's what I think is fascinating to watch, because I'm an outsider, so I'm not in the game. I don't have to play the game everybody else plays. What I love is I will talk to people about polling, and people will tell me, well, Trump, if the polls were right, Trump's probably polling at 65 or 70%. And I'll say, well, where do you get that from? What's the evidence of that? And they say, it just is. You know, these polls are wrong. I say, okay, now polls are released in the last couple of days that show that Trump's, more people don't want him impeached. When we agree with polls, they're great. Donald Trump talked about his polling figures last night and the crowd cheers. I guess those polls are good. You know what I'm saying? It's like even polls, it doesn't matter. Either if it's a poll we like, it's deadly accurate. And if it's a poll we don't like, oh, it's bogus. You know, polls are no good. Polls said Hillary was going to win. I mean, we have gotten to ourselves to a situation in this country where thinking people with decent IQs and decent ability to think for themselves refuse to do so. They have to make it up. They have to twist reality to fit into supporting one of these two horrible political parties. And it's driving me insane.
Well, I understand. Well, Mike, to make myself clear with you and the audience right now, neither am I a Republican. I am a conservative. I do believe in conservatism, but I'm not a Republican. And I have voted. I'm more of an independent. But I guarantee you, the way it went yesterday, I'm really saying, hey, how in the world can I just go in there and pull a lever again for a Democrat.
Oh, they have really jumped the shark, to use the old Happy Days term. I mean, they have just gone full on insane. There is no doubt about it. Hey, got to take a break. Hey, thanks so much for the call. You too. Bye bye. I mean, you know, I spend a lot of time on this show talking disparagingly about the Republican Party. Probably makes a lot of people upset. But, you know, like Willie just said, he's not a Republican, he's a conservative. I mean, it has come to, over the past several years, it's almost like you have to make a decision. Are you a conservative or a Republican? You don't believe me? Wait till I get to these stories I'm about to give you about what's going on in the Republican Senate right now. I mean, the Republicans have pulled the wool over conservative eyes for so long. We talk a lot on conservative talk radio about how the Democratic Party takes blacks for granted. And boy, do they. Why the black community is so enthralled with the Democratic Party when they have had disaster after disaster after disaster. They do nothing for the black community. And those of us on the right can see that, can't we? It's real obvious to us. We just say, what are you doing? As Trump said, what have you got to lose to vote for him? And he's right. Democrats aren't doing anything for the black community. Well, by and large, except for a few issues that are actually they're important. I'm not belittling, you know, things like gun control, pro-life stuff. Republicans take conservatives for granted. Both parties are able to do that because they know you've got nowhere else to go. Because of the warnings of our founding fathers, this two-party system has got us trapped. And we can't, for some reason, we cannot walk and chew gum at the same time. We cannot support Donald Trump in something like this impeachment stuff and see the ridiculousness of it and realize, I mean, I don't want to see Donald Trump removed. I don't want to see him impeached. But I can still criticize him for some of the things he's doing that I think are wrong. They're sure as hell not conservative. He is blowing the budget out of the water. The spending is astronomical. He's not ending the wars. He's asking to destroy the American currency. He wants, as of yesterday or day before, he wants lower and lower interest rates and more federal printing of money. He wants to devalue the dollar. Do you know what that means to you? Do you have any idea what that means? That means every dollar you've got in your pocket, in your savings account, and in your paycheck is worth a little bit less. I'm not going to cheer him for that. So here's how walking and chewing gum works. I support him in the impeachment stuff. What the Democrats are doing is objectionable and abhorrent. And I support Donald Trump in that battle against these nut jobs on the left. But I'm not in love with him. He doesn't know me. We're not buddies. I don't owe him anything. He needs to quit trying to destroy the U.S. dollar. Because after he leaves, my children have to inherit a Zimbabwe-style currency because he wants to take us into negative interest rates so he can prop up the stock market while he's president. I know what he's doing. I don't owe him my children's future. I support him in the impeachment stuff. I support him in getting us out of TPP. I support him in several different things, but it doesn't mean that I cannot criticize the guy. But see, the two-party thing, this love of politician and party, means we cannot hold these parties accountable. And all of you Democrats out there, all you people on the left who watched what happened yesterday and what's been really going on for the last 3 years, if you can't see through what this party is doing, then you are every bit as bad as any of the worst partisans out there. We should all tomorrow go out and just cancel our party affiliations. Everybody become independent. Let these parties start guessing on, oh my God, where'd everybody go? What do we got to do to get these people back? But we don't, do we? We're more partisan today than we were yesterday because of this impeachment stuff. And it's by design. It works perfect. It works perfect for the political class to keep us in this mess. The stories I have about bills that are making their way through Congress and through the Senate right now, while this impeachment is in front of your face. That's right. Everybody cares about impeachment. Everybody cares about James Comey. Everybody cares about Nadler. Everybody cares about Schiff. What's actually happening is it's stunning stuff. Maddening. Absolutely maddening stuff. I'll get to that when I come back. Stay with me. This is the Mike Madison Show.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales. consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
As I said yesterday, while the Democrats were on the floor of the House talking about how much they love the Constitution and how they had taken this oath and they loved the Founding Fathers, at the same time a court was saying that the Obamacare mandate was unconstitutional. My question is this. You know, just speaking to you, the peons out there like me, us little peons, how about us little peons that had to pay that fine? Where's our recourse? We going to get that money back? Turns out what they did was illegal to force us to buy a product from a private industry, a private industry that's got a ton of lobbyists and healthcare companies. Those fines were not small. Did you have to pay one of those fines? They were like $1,500, $1,600. Think the American people are going to be compensated for that? Of course not. I mean, the way this system chews up and spits out the American people is stunning to me. And the only way they can get away with it is this political theater, this keeping us at loggerheads so that we hate each other so much we just cannot unravel. We can't take a breath long enough to look at what's going on at the top. It's been the theme of the show since I came on air because I am stunned at what is going on behind the scenes. Listen to this. As I said, the greatest thing for the impeachment to me was I do not want to see Donald Trump impeached. I don't want to see him removed. I know it's ridiculous, it's a waste of time, it's a waste of energy, but at least I thought for a while it was sucking all the air out of the room and they weren't able to do anything. But in the last couple of weeks, it comes out, they're finding, you know, it's like NAFTA, the new NAFTA, the USMCA, UMSCA. They get UMSCA passed, or they've got it negotiated, ready to go now, and the Democrats are giddy about it. Well, that's not a win. I can guarantee you, if the Democrats got it, I can't remember if they got 27 amendments or 27 pages of amendments to this thing. But if the Democrats are happy with this thing, you can be rest assured it is not good for the United States, and it certainly is not a free market, limited government thing if the Democrats are happy with it. So there's that. There's all these other spending bills. Check this one out. Again, every conservative talk radio show is going to be covering impeachment wall to wall today, tomorrow. It's, you know, then it's going to the Senate. This show, this circus is not over. That's all that's going to be talked about. I don't know how Sean Hannity does it for an hour. He has done nothing of substance except Russia hoax and impeachment for the last 3 years. I don't know how he stays sane doing it. Well, I do. He's probably cushioned by the fact they're paying him millions of dollars to spout this propaganda every night. But anyway, listen to what's going on. American taxpayers are once again being forced to subsidize border security measures in the Middle East as part of the latest government spending bill. And listen, let me just tell you this. This is Republicans, Democrats, and Donald Trump coming together on these spending bills. While construction for barriers in the United States-Mexico border receives explicitly less than $1.4 billion in federal funds for fiscal year 2020, foreign countries are again sweeping up billions more in U.S. taxpayer money to strengthen their borders. The spending bill, which is set to pass the Senate, the Republican Senate, I might remind you, provides Jordan with more than $7.3 billion to be used to help the country, quote, enhance the ability of the armed forces to increase or sustain security along its borders, unquote. An additional $500 million is allocated to help security along Jordan's borders. Another nearly $1.2 billion is available until September 2021 to, quote, enhance the border security of nations such as Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt, and Tunisia. This is at least the third consecutive year that American taxpayers have been forced to pay for border security enhancement in foreign countries in the Middle East. $1.4 billion for your Mexico wall. $7.3 billion for Jordan's border security. Plus another $500 million. Plus another $1.2 billion for Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt, and Tunisia. For the third year in a row. So go ahead and keep paying attention to the impeachment stuff. Again, do you start to understand where this show comes from? Why I just I can't support any of them. This is budget deal done, and I'm not done. I'm going to come back with more like this. These are budget deals that were struck between Democrats, Republicans, and the Trump administration. Where am I supposed to go with this? I'm supposed to ignore this so that I can stay loyal to one party or one politician? Just ignore it. This is a screw job. It's stunning. And for Trump supporters out there, the wall, I don't know if anybody remembers the 2016 campaign. The wall was kind of a big deal. It's kind of one of the platforms of the Trump presidency. He's getting $1.4 billion for that. Jordan's getting $7.3 billion. Billion with a B. And again, I try to always take this down to you personally. Everybody you've ever met paying federal taxes for their entire lives, barring if you've met a bunch of billionaires, but, you know, every middle-class person that you've met in your entire life will send all of their federal money to Uncle Sam at the point of a gun through individual income taxes, and their entire lifetimes, every middle-class person you've ever met won't pay $7.3 billion that's going just this one year to Jordan's security measures. Is there anybody out there, 601-879-0002, when I come back, is there anybody out there that still believes that paying federal taxes is the price you pay for a civilized society? Is there anybody out there that pays these taxes voluntarily? Is there anybody out there that approves of the way that they spend our money in Washington, D.C.? And again, these are Democrat, Republican, and Trump administration spending plans. And I'm not done. Any of you Marco Rubio fans out there? Huh? Hello, anybody? Anybody out there a Marco Rubio fan? I'm going to show you what he's been up to. You want to talk about disgusting. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I am just, man, I'm idealistic, I guess. I believe there is some way to reach the average American citizen and break through the conditioning that we are under, the helplessness that we are under. One of those ways that I try is math. Let me just see if you're at all impressed, you find this at all interesting. I think math is important to really put these kinds of things in context. I just did a little bit of math. I just told you that the Democrats, the Republicans, and the Trump administration have gotten together and they've negotiated a spending deal which will give the country of Jordan $7.3 billion for their border security, while we only get $1.4 billion. Now, what I wanted to do was explain to you what this means just in dollars. Let me just see if this, I mean, does this even scratch the surface of people's understanding? I mean, we need, playtime's over. It's time for a real outrage. People that we elect should be held accountable for those kinds of decisions. $7.3 billion for Jordan's security, border security. So I did the math. Average American pays $9,000 a year in federal income taxes. I figure, okay, let's say they do that for 50 years. That's conservative, right? Most people are not going to be at highest, you know, their highest earnings. But I'm just going to say the average taxpayer pays $9,000. You got 50 working years during your life. Do you know how many taxpayers it takes their entire lifetime of federal income taxes at $9,000 a year? That's $450,000 in federal income taxes during the course of their life. Do you know how many taxpayers it would take their entire life remittance to the federal government to pay for just the money that we just gave to Jordan for their border security? 16,222 people. 16,222 Americans have to work their entire lives, and every nickel that they send to the federal government would go to just 1 year of what we sent Jordan for border security. Am I saying that correctly? Is that understandable to you? Those 16,000 people will work for 50 years, sacrificing, sending up $450,000. What would you do with an extra $450,000 at the end of your working life? I bet your retirement would be a little bit more cushy, right? But no, you sent that during your working life to Washington, D.C., and you know what they did? They came together as a cabal, the Republicans and the Democrats and the Trump administration, they came together and they said, hey, let's take Fred Johnson's $450,000 and 16,000 more people and just bundle it up and hand it over to Jordan. Well, I don't know if we can do that. The Americans might get mad. We'll just tell them it's national security. They always buy that. Listen to this one. The Afghanistan military is getting more than three times the American taxpayer funding than the construction of the wall on the U.S.-Mexico border thanks to a Republican-Democrat spending package. A Defense Department budget approved by House and Senate lawmakers, that's Republicans and Democrats, and set to be signed by President Donald Trump, is dishing out more than three times as much funding to the Afghanistan military as it is providing to build barriers to stop illegal immigration at the southern border. In total, American taxpayers are forced to subsidize nearly $4.2 billion in costs that will go towards the, quote, Afghanistan Security Forces Fund to fund the Afghan National Army, the Afghan National Police, the Afghan Air Force, and the Afghan Special Security Forces. Compare that funding to the less than $1.4 billion that's explicitly allocated to build barriers at the U.S.-Mexico border. Do I need to read that again? See, I'm flailing here. I'm trying to figure out. There's got to be something that wakes people up. There's got to be something. $4.2 billion. A Defense Department. Let me just break this down for you, just to kind of tell you what this show's about. A Defense Department. Hey, conservatives out there, Republicans, you know how you worship at the altar of defense budgets? You know how you applaud when a politician comes in front of you and says, we're boosting military budgets. We're rebuilding our military, and you cheer for it? Well, actually, what you're doing is you're rebuilding the Afghan military. You're rebuilding Jordan border security. You're probably building some nice vacation homes for the CEOs and CFOs of Boeing and Lockheed Martin and United Technologies. You're not giving that money to our soldiers. What do you think? You're making our troops wealthy? A Defense Department budget approved by House and Senate lawmakers and set to be signed by President Donald Trump is dishing out more than three times as much funding to the Afghanistan military as it is providing to build barriers to stop illegal immigration on the southern border. And then there's this one. I'll go ahead and get into it. Let me see a show of hands. Who's out there is a Marco Rubio supporter? You know, he was in the hunt back there in 2016. Trump called him Little Marco, and he had his water drinking incident. It took him off the stage. But I know a lot of people, Marco Rubio supporters. Marco Rubio, the Here's what I picture Marco Rubio. I picture Lindsey Graham and John McCain in the bed spooning, you know, the TV's on as they watch footage of war and death and mayhem. And McCain and Lindsey Graham are spooning in bed. Marco Rubio was in his little footy pajamas at the foot of the bed just staring at the screen watching the death and the mayhem of the wars. That's how I view Marco Rubio. Little Marco Rubio is like the spawn of neocons. So check this out. Oh, pull out your, well, it's almost the end of the year. Take a look at your paycheck. Look at your federal withholding for the year. Probably going to make you a little angry, but you think it's the price of a civilized society because they've convinced you of that with a bunch of propaganda. But, Mike, the Republicans let me keep 3% more. Oh, isn't that special? They only took 26% of your income instead of 29%. Whoa, why don't we pat them on the back and take a picture of them when they come to the Rotary Club? Now, pull that paycheck out. Look at your federal withholding. Check this out. Congress included on Monday $400 million in humanitarian funding for Venezuela in a mandatory appropriations bill to keep the government running. An amendment version of the Verdad Act, first proposed by Senator Bob Menendez, a Democrat from New Jersey, and anyone, Senator Marco Rubio, Republican of Florida this year, will authorize $200 million in assistance for addressing Venezuela's internal humanitarian crisis, as well as $200 million to help countries dealing with the rising flow of immigrants entering their country. Now, here's where it gets even more surreal. We are living in some weird universe. It's not immediately clear if the money will be given to the government of President Juan Guaido. This is Breitbart. This is the credibility of Breitbart, the neocon conservative website. It's not immediately clear if the money will be given to the government of President Juan Guaido, which has twice faced allegations of corruption and misappropriation of funds. Now listen to what Breitbart says. For any of you who don't know who Juan Guaido is, did you follow this when the U.S. just arbitrarily said, hey, Maduro's out. We've picked this guy to be the president of Venezuela. We've picked Juan Guaido. Can you even imagine the Chinese or the Russians or the EU just deciding that they don't like Donald Trump and said, hey, Nancy Pelosi is now president of the United States. We are no longer going to recognize Donald Trump. We don't care if anybody voted for him. We don't care if the people in the United States recognize Donald Trump. Nancy Pelosi is now the president of the United States. Would you be happy with that? Would you accept that? Oh, well, the UN said Nancy's our president, so I guess they know best. No, but you think that the U.S. can do that kind of stuff. We just picked this guy, Juan Guaido. Here's what Breitbart says about this Juan Guaido. And the coup was unsuccessful. If you didn't follow this story several months ago, Marco Rubio and Mike Pence's little coup just didn't work out in Venezuela. The people just didn't rush to the side of Juan Guaido, who's a socialist, by the way. Juan Guaido is a socialist. We're sending him $400 million of your dollars. Listen to what Breitbart says in this story. Guaido is legitimately Venezuela's head of state, but has failed to exercise his powers as dictator Nicolas Maduro refuses to vacate the presidential palace and remains in control of the army. What is going on? You want to talk about a banana republic. You want to talk about the absurdity of the leadership that we have in Washington, D.C. And a propaganda rag like Breitbart. Now, look, Breitbart puts out some decent stuff, but they're warmongers. Them and Daily Caller and most of these rags are all neocon stuff. Your Ben Shapiro's and your Fox News's, they're all neocons. Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh. They think the greatness of America is our military might. I'm glad we've got a good, strong defense. We just don't use it that way, do we? Now, we get $1.4 billion for the defense of the borders of the United States. We send $7.3 billion to Jordan for the defense of their borders. They actually say on Breitbart, Guaido is legitimately Venezuela's head of state. Well, that's news to Venezuelan people. They don't know that. We just picked him out of the blue. There you go. $400 million is going to this guy, this CIA plant, Juan Guaido, from Marco Rubio and Bob Menendez, the Democrat. Republicans and Democrats coming together to give away your money to people we have no business interacting with whatsoever. Gee, what's wrong with that Mike Madison show? He just can't get on one of our teams. He is so disloyal to the Republican Party. Are you kidding me?
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, final segment for today. Probably a good thing. I am really wrestling. I don't know if I'm more disgusted with the politicians in Washington, D.C. that abuse all of us equally, right and left. You think just the other party abuses you, but I'm reading about these bipartisan spending bills that the Trump administration is going to sign, and you think it's just the Democrats that are the problem. I don't know if I'm more frustrated and disgusted by these politicians, or I'm more in just, I have a level of unbelief of the helplessness of the American people. What's really cracks me up is, you know, I call myself a libertarian. And I know so many people, particularly in the Republican Party, libertarians have got some good ideas, but they're never going to win. You know, there's all this belittling of this idea of being a libertarian. I've had listeners say, I wish you wouldn't talk so much about you being a libertarian. It just cracks me up to see what these two parties are doing. Do you think that you're somehow credible because you're a Republican at this point? The libertarians are the problem? Are you kidding me? Budget watchdogs are howling over last-minute deals that will add hundreds of billions of dollars to the deficit as part of year-end spending legislation. Measures tacked onto government spending bills this week will amount to $426 billion in lost revenue over the next decade, adding 30% to the cost of annual appropriations bills, according to the Joint Committee on Taxation. Quote, "This budget deal just keeps getting worse," said Maya McGinnis, president of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, who highlighted a package of tax extenders that lawmakers agreed to include in a massive spending package the night before it was passed in the House. Yeah, libertarians are the problem. Yeah, I should really be ashamed of being outside of this two-party system because, really, a few more R's will fix this whole thing and lickety-split. No, these budget deals, this spending, I'm telling you, this $7.3 billion for border security for the country of Jordan will be enthusiastically supported by the Democrats and the Republicans and Donald Trump. And I'm the nut job. Yeah, I'm beginning to get more frustrated with the American people than I am the politicians. Because I got to tell you, I have no expectations for politicians. I can't stand them as a class of people. There may be 5% of them that are pretty decent human beings. And some of them may start out as decent human beings. I don't know. Chicken and the egg thing. I don't know if corrupt people are drawn to this stuff or this stuff just corrupts people. I don't know what it is. But I don't expect anything from them. But boy, what's disappointing to me is how neutered we are as a society, how we allow this stuff to go on. I'll be off the air in 1 minute and 20 seconds, and you can resume the political theater of impeachment. You can listen to it for the next 22 hours. You can spend some time listening to talk radio. Tonight you can watch your Fox News broadcasts. You can call out all the names. You can shake your fist at the ceiling. That Peter Strzok. That James Comey. Make up some funny names for Adam Schiff. And then wave bye-bye to $7.3 billion that's going to Jordan for their border security. See, in 20 or 30 years, when my kids are hitting their prime earning years and this country is being bankrupted and destroyed, they won't really give a crap who Adam Schiff was, and they won't even care about the Trump impeachment. They won't care about Colin Kaepernick taking a knee. They're not going to care what Robert De Niro said. They're going to be looking around and going, Dad, what did you do to us? What did you and your generation do to us? You destroyed what y'all kept saying was the greatest country ever been on the planet. And you allowed it to be destroyed. That's what my kids are going to have to deal with. And it's why I sit here in amazement. I could do these kinds of stories all day long. I don't know if it makes any difference whatsoever. But for today, that's all the time I've got. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.